This morning's scripture reading will come from Matthew 15, 1 through 3. Matthew 15, 1 through 3. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from the city of Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." Jesus replied, "And why do you break the laws and commands of God for the sake of your own desires?"
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here with you this morning. It's a beautiful day. We've had a great time of worship so far, and it's always wonderful to be here. I always enjoy it here very much. As we were pulling in this morning, my daughter, when she saw we were here, she got excited and she said, "Oh, I love this church. I get to run around here." And I have even other reasons, even on top of that, that I enjoy being here. But it's a beautiful day, and thank you all for being here as well. We had our reading from Matthew chapter 15, and that's where we'd be spending most of our time this morning. it's an interesting passage, and when I read it, sometimes I think about the washing of hands, and my mind kind of goes to hygiene and germs, and that's something that sometimes I think about. I wouldn't say I'm as bad as some people. It's very unfortunate. They really they struggle with that, and it becomes a real problem. So I'm grateful it's not quite like that. And we, of course, a few years ago, we've lived through a pandemic, which really heightened, our senses of things like that, and changed a lot of us in certain ways. But in this interaction, Jesus is not condemning good hygiene or anything like that. But there is a couple really important lessons that I would like us to think about in his interaction with the Pharisees. Specifically about the idea of traditions and commandments, and some of the ways that the Pharisees thought, and the way that Jesus answered them in that. I think there are some things that we can learn. So that'll be what we're speaking about this morning. So I want to begin in verse 1, and then think about how Christ deals with the idea of traditions and commandments. Then Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." He answered them, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition?" We all have traditions. We all have things that are just, kind of things that we do and are normal for us. And I probably have a lot of those when you sit and really start to think about what a tradition is, things that you're used to doing. There are things with my family, for holidays and even birthdays, get-togethers that we have that are very important to me. And there is, a huge emotional attachment to a lot of those things. And it's things that we connect with our family over. It's things that we connect with people that we love about them. And even beyond that, even I would say within the church, we have some traditions. I think we mentioned earlier, like there's a summer series coming up, which is kind of a tradition here, and that's a really cool thing. When we have get-togethers or celebrations, those are kind of traditions, things that we've done and we continue to do, and they hold value to us. So I don't think that there's anything wrong with, having traditions. But the group that came to Jesus, the Pharisees, they were a sect that was highly devoted to the law, but also they kind of wove their traditions into the law. And traditions being things from the elders, the people who came before them, and they took the things that they said and the commandments of God, and they gave them kind of equal weight and equal authority. So that these traditions had become just like commandments from God. They believed that the oral communication, the things that had been handed down, that's the way that they should be done, and that those were binding on others. And they held other people responsible for that as they were questioning Jesus here. And it really isn't difficult, I think, to kind of understand how that line could be sort of blurred over time. I really like baseball. I played baseball. I enjoy baseball. And there are things in baseball called unwritten rules. You know, when you have a big lead, you're not supposed to steal bases. If the other pitcher's throwing a no-hitter, you're not supposed to bunt to get a hit. That's just seen as, like, you know, not good form, not good sportsmanship. It's not written anywhere. The umpire won't do anything about it. You're not breaking a rule. But it's just this kind of accepted idea of the norm. And over time, baseball's been around for a long time, and that just kind of became part of the culture. And I guess there's really not a lot wrong with that. We have kind of norms and expectations in our workplaces, maybe things that we all kind of accept and we recognize as being, you know, good standard practice, even if it's not necessarily written somewhere. But is it appropriate to bind that on others? Is it appropriate to hold those to the same standard as a law? And especially when it comes to something like our faith. Jesus is not necessarily criticizing the presence of traditions, but he is taking issue when those interfere with the commandments of God and when they are bound on people unnecessarily. And Christ even goes on to provide an example of this in verse 4, Matthew 15, 4. For God commanded, he's addressing the Pharisees again, he tells them, you know, previously, you break the commandment of God for the sake of your traditions. And then he says in verse 4, for God commanded, honor your father and mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. Christ here points out that we have a command to honor our parents and to take care of them. If we're fortunate enough and our parents are around as they get later in life, they may need some care. They may need someone to take care of them. And so I think it's important that we are there and do that. And Christ, you know, brings it up as a command. But the Pharisees kind of had this tradition of taking whatever money or resources that could have gone to helping their parents, and they would kind of mark it away and say, well, this, you know, whatever I could have given to you, whatever I could have provided for you, I've set that aside for God, so I can't give you those things. Which may sound kind of high-minded at first, and this is repeated again in Mark 7 and 11, it gives a little bit of a different part to it. But you say, if a man tells his father or mother, whatever you have gained from me is Corban, that is, given to God. So they had this idea of just kind of putting things away and saying, this is reserved for God, sorry mom and dad, I can't give it to you. But it wasn't done with sincerity. It wasn't done in the right spirit. After that vow, the Pharisee could argue that, you know, it would be breaking a vow to God, you know, to help out their parents, but the property was still in their control. And, you know, from what I read, it was more kind of like a, well, I set this aside, but I still have control over it. There wasn't necessarily a strong follow through afterward for giving it to God. It was a way of using a tradition, a saying, to bypass the commands of God and to, you know, essentially rob your parents and kind of put out a virtuous spin to that. And God, or Christ, said that the Pharisees had made the word of God void. So here they were coming to him and talking about a tradition, not a command, and criticizing him for it. And yet he brings up, you take a tradition and you put it ahead of the commands of God, specifically here to take care of your parents. And then verse 15, you hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. And this is a place where sadly mankind has not changed much. It's far too easy to find people who are speaking about God's will, speaking about ways we should live, speaking about morality, speaking about God without using God's word. Anytime that we're talking about the commands of God, we should be going to God for those things. And unfortunately, many times we don't do it. And so the Pharisees were making these kind of religious sounding, flattering proclamations about devoting things to God. And it kind of, it reminds me a little bit of, there's a phrase that is used sometimes today called virtue signaling, where it's kind of that idea of putting something out there kind of publicly to make your character seem great, but it's not necessarily done for the right reasons. It's kind of showy. It's maybe a little hollow. And I think that's kind of what the Pharisees were doing. It wasn't something sincere. It wasn't something that was genuine and from their hearts. It was, number one, going against the commands of God. Number two, it was using God, you know, like that vow to give to God as sort of a way of uplifting themselves. And it was done very, very outwardly. It was an outward sign that they were trying to put forth there. They were very righteous in their speech, but not with their hearts. The Pharisees were focused on something physical, something tangible, but something that was only meaningful in kind of an outward way. Matthew chapter 15, verse 10. And he called the people to him and said to them, hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a person. Then the disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? And again, I think that's, I'm not trying to laugh about it, but it's so funny that, you know, 2,000 years ago, Christ teaches the truth, and his disciples come to him and they're kind of like, do you realize you offended people, you know, by what you said? And it just reminds us nothing is new. Nothing that's happening now is anything that hasn't happened for thousands of years when it comes to God's word and the truth. And I certainly don't think we should ever try to offend people. I know that, I shouldn't say I know this, but I get the impression sometimes that there are some people who kind of enjoy getting other people riled up and saying things. And even if it's something that you're saying that is true, our intention and our heart shouldn't be that, you know, we enjoy seeing people get worked up or enjoy offending people. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, speaking about love, Paul wrote, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Elsewhere in Ephesians, he wrote that we should speak the truth in love. So we should never try to offend or hope that we offend. That shouldn't be our purpose. But we also shouldn't allow the fear of offending others prevent us from telling the truth. And I wish I had more courage in that. I admit, like, I don't like offending people. I don't like having uncomfortable interactions with people. So I wish that I had, you know, more courage and that that didn't bother me as much as sometimes it does. But still, I know it's much better that if somebody is going to be offended by the truth, I would rather that they were offended than I offend God by saying something that isn't true. And we need to remember that no matter what we say, someone's going to be offended. Some people are offended by the truth. Some people are offended by lies. You could find somebody to be offended about any position that you took on something. So we need to make sure that we are dedicated to telling what is true, speaking the truth in love. And if other people, you know, they're responsible for the way that they respond to that. And then in verse 15, he answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit." So when the disciples say to him, "Do you realize you offended these people?" He says, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up." The truth, you know, reality, the steadfast teachings of God are immovable. But the commandments of men, false doctrines, they're going to be gone. They're going to be burned up. There is no substance, there is no power, there is no foundation to them. Commandments of God, the Word of God, it can be traced back to the mind of God, the Creator of the universe. That's the foundation upon which God's law is founded. But traditions, we just trace those back to people, just the mind of man, fallible, foolish people. So we need to make sure that we always, you know, found ourselves in our teachings on what is true. We don't want to be the blind leading the blind and following the traditions of men. Then in verse 15, Peter said to him, "Explain the parable to us." And he said, Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled?" So again, I want to make clear, Christ is not saying there's anything wrong with washing your hands. He's not saying germs don't exist. He's just making the point that when they were so fixated on this kind of outward, physical, tangible tradition, and Christ is saying, like, you know, whatever you eat it and it goes and it's fine. Like it's just a physical thing. Like your body's pretty good at handling the things that go in it. It's trivial. It's not related to your heart. It's not related to your spiritual relationship with God. It's not a matter of righteousness, the things that go into your mouth. But he says in verse 18, "But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone." We're not defiled by these kind of outward physical things. What defiles us is what comes from our heart, the things that we say. The Pharisees were focused on an inconsequential kind of outward virtue signaling rather than the conditions of their heart. In James chapter 3, there's a fairly long passage that speaks about the things that come out of our mouth. And in James 3, I have verses 1 through 12. I don't know that I'll read them all just for the sake of time, but James here, just to kind of paraphrase, "We all stumble in many ways," verse 2. "And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body." He's saying that our tongues, the things that we say, the things that come out of our mouth, if you can control that, you're a perfect person. And you've never done anything wrong. Because that is the hardest thing for man to control. At least that's what I see here. He says if you can bridle your tongue, if you can control the things you say, then you shouldn't have any problem with anything else. But from our heart, things come out, and we make mistakes, and we say every kind of evil thought. You know, it comes out of our mouths. And then in verse 10 in James 3. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. And then elsewhere in James, chapter 1, verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of God does not produce the righteousness of God. Sorry, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. We need to be slow to speak, careful about our words, and to remember that Christ here says that it is what comes out of our mouth that will defile us. In Matthew 23, verse 27, Christ again speaking to the Pharisees, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness." He's telling the Pharisees that they are like whitewashed tombs, a tomb that, you know, you paint on the outside, you make it to look presentable outwardly, but inside it's full of uncleanness. The Pharisees were trying to appear righteous through these outward signs, but inwardly there was uncleanness. And Jesus is focused on the heart. And then just the final thing that I want to think about this morning is that those are the things that we need to be concerned about also. And I worry about myself sometimes, and that I may become focused on the perception of obedience rather than truly coming from my heart. It's very, very good to be here. We've had great worship. We've had prayer. We've had singing. We've had so many good things. We've had Bible class. We're studying God's Word. And these are not idle practices. They are very, very meaningful. But I always want to take a moment to remember that it's more than just these practices. It's a relationship. It needs to come from the heart. And I know that there are times in my life where I can feel I've been stronger at that, and times where I've been weaker at that. I mentioned before that I was raised in the church. And I hope that doesn't come across like as boasting or anything like that. I didn't do it. I mean, it was where I was born. I didn't do anything to deserve that. But I bring it up because I feel like it's almost the opposite. Like I don't have any excuse. I've been taught that my whole life. And I bring it up here because I guess in a way I kind of know how to put on that outward presentation of faithfulness. I can, you know, sit in a pew and not pay attention. I can sing and not think about the words that I'm singing. I can kind of be a little bit like a whitewashed tomb where I'm presenting something maybe to the world. I'm not getting arrested. You know, like those kind of things that we think like, oh, I'm a good person. I come to church. All these things. But I know that there are times where my heart is not always in it the way that it should be. And that's why I think this is a good lesson for me, is to remember, you know, that Christ said you can put on these appearances, but that's a whitewashed tomb. Your heart needs to be engaged in it. You know, you need to be motivated out of love in your heart for serving God. And no one's perfect. I'm not trying to beat myself up or anybody else up. You know, we're never going to be perfect. That's That's why we have Christ and His love and His sacrifice, and we're continually cleansed of our sins. So it's not to demean that or minimize that or expect perfection from us, of course. But I want to remember what Christ teaches here, that my heart needs to be devoted to God. And it's not about coming and sitting. I know we have nice, comfortable chairs, not pews, but sitting in a pew, singing, putting money into the collection. These are things that we can do mindlessly if we're not careful, if we're not motivated by love. I want to try to not be fixated on rituals or traditions or appearing faithful. I don't want to become concerned with those other things and not have my heart be motivated by love and the things that come out of my heart to be glorifying to God. So let that be our thought for today, that Christ encourages us to be loving, to be engaged, and to truly worship Him in spirit and in truth as we all try to live as close to Him as possible. If you have not done that, if you've not put Him on in baptism for the forgiveness of sins, to be washed clean in His blood, this is an opportunity this morning to make that choice. If you have and you need the prayers of the church for any reason, we would love to pray with you and help you in any way that we can. If you'll come forward as we stand and sing.